dumbfounded as well. So they believe that Jesus knows the future, or they wouldn't have asked. A lot of people believe in a Jesus who doesn't know the future because he's a false Christ. A lot of people believe in a Jesus who is a created being. They don't believe he's truly divine, God in flesh. So you got to be careful when people say, well, I believe Jesus this or Jesus that. If your Jesus isn't eternal, if he's not omniscient, if he's not divine, you got a false Christ. A false Jesus. But they believe he knows the future because he's more than a prophet. But he is a prophet. But he's more than a prophet. There's that book by Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter. He was a carpenter, but he was more than a carpenter. And he was more than a prophet. Scripture was Scripture. Moses foretold of Jesus in these terms that we're talking about right now, we're using right now. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, Torah, Pentateuch, like Pentagon, five-sided, five books. Deuteronomy 18, beginning of verse 15. And this is Moses speaking. Verse 15, he says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." Is that word prophet capitalized in your Bible? Yes. Good, you can keep your Bible. Go ahead and read verse 15 with me. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Capitalized because of divinity, because he's divine, he's the Son of God, he's God in flesh, but he's of thy brethren because he was of the tribe of Judah. And he was of the seed of David. He was born of a woman, born of a virgin. So he was 100% God and 100% man, not 50-50. So, you know, that again, Darren and I were talking about this, that's what separates Christianity from all other religions. Number one, all false cults and false religions reject the deity of Jesus Christ. All false religions teach a works salvation. True Christianity says Jesus has paid it all. And all false religions and cults reject the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's some cults like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, who teach a resurrection, but he is like a ghost. We believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we believe he is literally going to return and establish his kingdom on earth. And even some Christian denominations deny that. That gets pretty saucy there. But there's Moses prophesying about this prophet who would be also called the Anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, which is that's what that word means, Christos in the Greek language, is the Anointed. And so it's capitalized, prophet. He'll be like unto me. He'll be like unto Moses because Moses was human. And Moses dealt with people on the human level. He says, though, unto him ye shall hearken. And that's what's wrong with Judaism today in all of its forms. They put Moses above Jesus. Jesus said, when this prophet comes, you put him above me. They rejected their Messiah, and that's why they're in the shape they're in. Verse 16 says, "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken." Read 18 with me. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." And then verse 19 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." That's all Christ-rejecting Jews being talked about right there. They reject Jesus Christ, their Messiah. God will require it of them. Now, there are Jews who are Christians. And thank God for the remnant of Jewish believers. But those who reject Jesus Christ, because people falsely accuse Christian Zionists of believing that Jews are saved apart from Jesus Christ. There is a small group, they call them dual covenant Zionists. John Hagee used to teach that. I don't know if he still does or not. But and that's false doctrine. Every Jew that will be saved in this dispensation must be saved the same way as you and I. Yep. Yep. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and to the Greek," which is us, Gentiles. So it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. One gospel that will save you in this dispensation. So, back to our text in... oh, wait a minute. Don't turn away from there yet. I forgot my own notes. After declaring this in Deuteronomy 18, then Moses warns of false messiahs to come. And a lot of people kind of forget this part of Deuteronomy 18 because they emphasize the other, which is important. But don't forget what you read beginning verse 20. Right on the heels of what I just read in verse 19, that it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Verse 20 says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." That would include Muhammad and any other prophet who tells you to follow another god, even if they get prophecies right. Verse 21, read that. "And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?" Now he's going to show you that the false prophets are going to get things wrong. But in just keep in mind, in Deuteronomy 13, he said there will be times where he'll even let the false prophets get things right. And if they turn around and tell you to follow another god, that tells you they're a false prophet, even if they get something right. Well, we have all these, Jonathan Edwards is one more recent. Who was the one back in the 60s, 70s, 80s? The Gene Dixon, you know, and all these people. They would put out 100, 200 prophecies and get one or two right, and that's the one that they would advertise. They wouldn't tell you about the 180 that they got wrong, but they got one right. Fling something up against the wall to the sticks, you know. Yeah. So verse 22, read that with me. "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of it." So, you know, when Oral Roberts got that prophecy wrong, cut him off. Watchtower's got these prophecies wrong, cut them off. You know, all these Benny Hinn's got so many of them wrong over the year, and people still follow and listen to him. Doesn't matter who it is. They get it, they stand up and prophesy, and it's wrong, turn them off, and they're not worth listening to. Now, Jesus, the prophet spoken of by Moses that we just read about, will also warn of false prophets claiming to be the Christ back in our text. In verse 8, "And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived." I guess stop there for a second. There are preachers who don't warn about the false teachers. Yep. And then those of us who do, we are criticized. And we're actually called false teachers because we're causing division. Romans 16, 17 says that the one who teaches falsely is the one causing the division, not the one who's pointing out the false teacher with the false teaching. And Jesus is going to say the same thing here. "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." Now, the King James, and I think pretty much anything you find written in the 17th century, they didn't have quotation marks. And so it can cause a little confusion sometimes when you're reading the King James Bible because there's no quotation marks. But if you were to put quotation marks in the text, it would be before the word I, and afterward Christ. And he's saying that for many shall come into my name saying, I am Christ. And then he says, and the time draweth near. Why? Because we know when we see this, we know that means the time is drawing near. Go ye not therefore after them. Now, I got the wrong. There have been false Christs ever since Jesus ascended to heaven. That's true. But there's a thing about exponentialism, they call it. things just picking up the pace and increasing. There's not just one or two, but one or two per capita. So let's just look at a few of the recent ones. Well known. This guy died a few years ago, but he was a big deal back when we first started having our BBF meetings among Latino Hispanics. His name is Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, and I know I probably butchered that, but he was known, a.k.a., as Jesus Christ Man. That was his name, title, whatever. Jesus Christ Man. Now, you see, he's got 666 on his vest there.
Wow.
He was so twisted that he taught that we had it all wrong, that the mark of the beast was a good thing.
Oh.
Hey, man, it gets crazy. I'm not on YouTube anymore. It's for communists. But back when I was on YouTube, I got these followers of this guy would watch our stuff and then send me messages because they claimed I had the mark of the beast because I used the Bible. And I said, wait a minute, please explain that. And they believed that the Bible was the mark of the beast. They tried to explain it to me, and it made no sense no matter what they said. But how many of you know the hardcore Seventh-day Adventists believe that you have the mark of the beast? Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Hardcore Seventh-day Adventists. Now, some of the, you know, there's some moderate types that, like this big church down here that met yesterday. They always meet on Saturdays. Where are we at here? Here's the road. There's right there. They don't. Oh, I got it wrong. Is it which direction? It's this way. Okay. Yeah. Big, nice building. But I don't think that they teach this, or if they do, they don't make it well known. But the hardcore follow a woman named Ellen G. White, and they believe that if you go to church on Sunday, you have the mark of the beast. The Bible says there's going to be a mark in and on the forehead and the right hand. How they you can get that to going to church on Sunday? People be tripping. That's all I can say. But it's amazing how few people, if you take the whole population, how few people read the book and take what it says at face value. And it once you get away from that, what they call literal hermeneutic, once you get away from that, you can end up anywhere. And they do. This guy claimed that Jesus integrated into him in 1973.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Then he switched and said he became the Apostle Paul in 1998. Uh-huh. Then they switched his meds and he announced he was Jesus in 2008. And then Jesus Christ Man died in 2013 and still has not resurrected. There, his followers expected him to. This fella looks like something out of Lord of the Rings. Alvaro Thies, a.k.a. Henry Cristo. And Mark missed his Sunday to be here because that's an acronym. And it's a Latinization of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And in Latin, that's I-N-R-I, so he just took that as his name. Henry Cristo. In the 60s, he was claiming he was Nostradamus. But in 1971, he found it to be more lucrative to say he was Jesus. he had followings in numerous countries, but they kept closing them down for embezzlement and abuse and all that sort of thing. And so most of his followers are now females in Brazil. And he doesn't dispute that he may be mad, but he says he's not stupid. He literally says that. He said, I may be mad, but I'm not stupid. Yeah, exactly. Who's mad? Who's insane? His followers. Those are the problem. You know, if people didn't follow these kooks, they'd be no, you know, they'd find something else to do. They'd go fishing or something. Now, this guy is no relation, A.J. Miller. And he married his second wife, or I don't know how many wives he's had. I can't remember. Mary Luck, he says, no, her name's Mary Magdalene. And they got married. Jesus, A.J. Miller, and Mary Luck Magdalene, they got married. He's a former Jehovah's Witness who was disfellowshipped because he was a womanizer. So then after he got caught womanizing, was kicked out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he decided he was Jesus and started a thing called Divine Truth Cult. He's a former IT specialist. You know people in computers are crazy. That's down in Queensland, Australia. And he's still going strong. This guy we featured years ago, but since we did, things have changed. So I thought I'd give you an update. Sergei Anatolievich Torop, a.k.a. Vissarion, claims that he's the reincarnation of Jesus. That was back in 1991. That was a good year for false Christ. So a bunch of them showed up in 1991. He started the Church of the Last Testament. Kind of like the Mormons had another testament. He decided his is the last one. He's a former Russian traffic cop. You know. And he claims he's more than a traffic cop. Some of you got that. He was arrested for extortion and abuse a couple years ago, so now he's in jail. So there's a before and after picture. But, yeah, he still has followers. And they're still, you know, raising money for him and all that. Probably baking him cakes. So again, as Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. And we sit here and I have to tell you, I'm not being arrogant. I'm just thinking, how in the world do people get caught up in this stuff? Jim Jones, who couldn't tell he was a creep, especially when he starts touching you? Like he did almost all of his followers. And David Koresh, a guy comes up and says, you no longer can sleep with your wife. I'm taking her as one of mine. Okay, it's time to leave. They didn't. They willingly followed after him even before it got ugly and they felt like they were kind of stuck. And then, yeah, I think you said Joseph Smith, the same thing. Joseph just wanted to have a bunch of women, so suddenly he claimed God gave him a vision to have a bunch of women. That's all there was to it. Now, the fact there were people stupid enough to follow that, so it's just amazing. But I've seen it firsthand on a couple of occasions, and I talked to them. They just have this glazed over look in their eyes. I mean, so he says, go ye not therefore after them. I think that's a commandment that we can obey. Amen?
Yes.
We'll see in 10 years if the Lord tarries. I'll come up to one of you and say, you know, I taught on this. I hope I don't have to do that, but I have had to do that in the past. Going up here, you know, we talked about this, and here you are just kind of going on after it. It should be obvious. But then Jesus goes on and says this in verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. That's why I have to emphasize all the time, our current events updates are not to terrorize you. Don't be terrified. We don't have anything to fear. It's to be informed so you can think and act intelligently, not so you can freak out. He says, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But what's he saying? The end is not by and by. So, for these things must first come to pass. That's another thing. For years, a lot of Christians have tried to date the rapture, you know. First of all, you can't date the rapture. Give it up. I've had people come to me and say, well, it doesn't say you don't know the day. It just says you don't, or not, you don't know the week. It says you don't know the day or the hour. So I'm pretty sure we can know the week. And I'm serious. There's guys that I think are decent Bible-believing Christians who then will say that kind of stuff. You're not going to date the rapture. And by the way, we've taught on this, and the feasts are for Israel. They're not for the church. You're not going to date the rapture by looking at the feasts and so forth. Now, it is true that we've been watching these things for 2,000 years, but as I mentioned earlier, the rates, numbers of casualties, etc., have increased exponentially in the last century. If you don't get that word, look it up and do a little meditation on exponentialism. Exponentially. And that's the thing, is there's always been earthquakes, you know, but not like we're seeing today. And someone, you know, said, well, that's just because of the population. And so that's still a fact. Maybe God said this with that in mind, that from 2000, or well, from 1st century A.D. till the 21st century A.D., the population would be so much greater that's why the earthquakes and their destruction would be so much worse. That doesn't change the prophecy. That just means God knew the future, that our population was going to become what it is. It's not a refutation. So then he goes on and says, verse 10-11, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. We're going to come back to that in our next study. But in closing, there's words he said, for these things must first come to pass. We now see these things coming to pass. That should build your faith. That should build your faith in Jesus Christ. That should build your faith in the Word that you have on your lap or on your phone or your laptop or wherever you're studying your Bible. If you've got the King James Bible in English, then you have the infallible Word of God, and it's constantly being confirmed, and here's an example of it. And it proves that Jesus is omniscient. That's because He is God. He would not be and could not be omniscient. It is impossible to be omniscient unless you're God. That's why I tell people, when we go to heaven, we go to the next life, eternity, we're going to learn for eternity, because it's impossible that we will ever learn everything. We'll always be learning. And we'll enjoy it. Because Jesus is God, and Jesus knows the future. So you've entrusted your soul to a Savior who cannot lie and is never wrong. I know I joke about it up here, but I tell you, I remind you every once in a while, I'm fully aware that I can be wrong. One preacher told me, he said, I think you're crazy putting all your messages out there on the internet, because you know things have changed, and someone will go back 10 years earlier and listen to you and say, wow, he was off on that. Well, thankfully, I haven't been off on something major. But I go back and listen to my own teaching, because I forget things I taught. Amen. So I'll go back and listen to that and say, oh yeah, I remember teaching that. I had kind of forgotten. It's back there rattling around somewhere, but I forgot about it. And I listen. But then there's times where I'll hear something, well, that wasn't right. I was off on maybe numbers or something, or we found out later that it was something different, or maybe sometimes preachers will be thinking something and say something else. Not Jesus. That's why I don't stand up here trying to sell you on Greg Miller. I mean, I'd always have to be defending myself. I only defend myself on that. I don't purposely teach anything that the Bible doesn't say wrongly. And if I do, you're to be a Berean, search the Scriptures and make sure what you're being taught is so. Chew the meat, spit the bone, come to me, talk to me. Don't go out just telling everybody I'm a heretic before you come to me and talk to me. And we can discuss it, and maybe you'll show me that I'm wrong. I'm game for that. But that's not something you ever have to do with Jesus. And I'm going to close with this reading from our Bible reading calendar. I just want to plug that and remind you, we've got copies online under resources, bbfire.com resources. We've got copies over here for you in the house. A hard copy, you can download it as a PDF on your phone. And this week we're reading Isaiah. And I want to read a portion of one of our readings there, Isaiah 42, in closing. Isaiah 42. These kind of things make reading the Old Testament even more interesting to me. I hope they do to you as well. And you're reading in verse 1, giving us context. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. That's not talking about Calvinists. It's talking about Jesus. In whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the who?
Gentiles.
That's you and me. Now, we don't have time to run through the whole chapter, but I want to jump down to verse 5. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out. Who's that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. John chapter 1 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we're talking about Jesus here. He says, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Read verse 6 with me. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And this describes Jesus' ministry in verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Read 8 and 9 with me. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That's how you know Jesus is true and all the other gods are false. You won't find this kind of prophecy from anything in the Quran or the Gitas or the Book of Mormon or any other really charismatic so-called prophets or anybody like that. Wasn't in the works of Ellen G. White or any of the other 19th century false prophets. Only Jesus came and demonstrated His deity and demonstrated that He is omniscient. And that when He prophesied, He doesn't get a single thing wrong.
Ever.
And you'll see that in other places throughout the Old Testament. When you look closely, it'll identify Jesus in the text, just like it did here. And then He'll say, I know the future. I know the past, the present, the future perfectly. Omniscience. And that's Jesus. The prophecies of Jesus are 100% accurate, which is what Moses prophesied about the Messiah to come. Say it with me. Jesus is amazing. Amen. All right. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this study and this book. But we thank You because it tells us all about the living Word, Jesus. It tells us all about the One who died for us. The One who paid the full price for sin. The One who was buried and after 3 days and three nights rose bodily from the grave, conquering sin and death, paying the full price for sin and the full victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and then ascended to heaven, promising to return and to receive us unto Himself. We look so forward to that. And we give You all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, stand if you can, and let's sing.
Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer. Amen.